I think the Lord is speaking to us that leads us into the new year. And in prophecy just means knowing the heart of God ahead of time. And that's basically what that is. And so we're starting into a new year. Lots of things have gone on in the last year. And, you know, you always have to take it with a grain of salt and live in the promise that everything that goes on, whether it be really hard at the time or turns out, you know, to be wonderful, the promise of God is that he promises to take the hard things and turn them into something good, right? And so as his people, that's the way we live. And I thought I would just start our time together here this morning by reading some scripture for you as just a way of precursoring Margaret's message for her. If that's okay, and I'll pray for you. It's Ephesians 4, folks. And just starting in verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, and one Father, who is over all and in all and living through all. However, he has given each one of you a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And that is why the scriptures say, he ascended into the heights, he led a crowd of captives, and gave gifts to his people. And notice that it says that he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also had descended to our lonely world. And at the same one who descended and the one who ascended higher than all of the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. We'll just stop it at that point. God's word. He has given us all gifts, and he fills the whole universe. So, Father, I just want to pray for Margaret this morning, Lord, and I just pray for your peace, just to come rest on her right now, that she would be able to deliver this message that you have put on her heart. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless her in this. Lord, that you would keep the enemy short from robbing or stealing her of this special moment for her, Lord. And I just pray that the words that she has in her heart would only be highlighted by your Holy Spirit, given to us as a gift to this day. And I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right? I didn't say anything. Didn't say a thing.
Good way to start, I guess. Okay, here we go. This is kind of, I don't know, maybe many of you know that Rick got me a hot tub a while back. It was kind of the joke in our home group. Oh, why don't you get your wife a hot tub? Well, I've had many, many good times with God in that hot tub. So this is part of the hot tub messages. So it's a New Year's message. If you're thinking, am I echoing? If you're thinking about making a New Year's resolution, today I'm going to try to convince you that you should make a new friend. In Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This means you have something in common with everybody right off the bat. And in John 17, before Jesus was arrested, he prays for his disciples and those who believe in him through their message. That's us. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. I believe that God puts something special in everyone that has potential to respond to him. The Bible says that we are made in his image. Since the beginning of time, There has been something in every person that wants to worship him. Something deep inside that knows that there's a higher power than man. Today I'm going to refer to this as a deposit from God. By speaking God's truth, we can awaken this deposit in others by sincerely loving them and being their friend. I find it so interesting that people have so much trouble having faith in a God that they cannot understand. And yet in times of great need, they call on that power of God that is beyond their understanding. In Romans 12, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. We discussed the parable about the talents in our home group. At the end of the evening, we all agreed that God has given all of us gifts that he wants us to use, and as we do, he will give us more. This wasn't about money, rather it was about the risk involved in investing in something God has given and making it multiply. In other words, he wants our gifts to show interest. So I'm going to read the parable of the talents, just to familiarize you with it. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his father's money, or his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And in our e-sword on our computer, they had a really neat little commentary on the side, and I loved what it said. Those who desire to be used for God's glory are given the means. The more they do, the more they are enabled to do for him. Conversely, we lose what we don't use. I believe that God has made a deposit in each one of us, and it is up to us to show interest in ourselves and in others. We often think of this in regards to our own gifting from God and how we should use it so it will grow. But what about showing interest in someone else's gift? Can you help someone else's deposit of Christ grow? Lorraine McNull did. We were neighbors for years. She saw something in me and wanted to become my friend. She felt God calling her to have a neighborhood Bible study right at the time when I was searching for that something that was missing in my life. I got to know Jesus personally in that process. Lorraine showed interest in Christ's deposit in me, and she multiplied it and made it grow. Glenda Brunel also showed interest in me. I met her through Lorraine. Even though I'm sure she saw some rough edges in me, she still became my friend. She must have seen the deposit of Christ in me too. We talked a lot during the time when she lost two babies, but the interest she added to my deposit showed dividends. God gave me a poem to help her through the pain and a vision of charity. Played at Glenda's feet at her kitchen table before she was even conceived, all because Glenda showed interest in God's deposit in me. Maybe now some of my rougher edges had been smoothed out, and by this time, Rick had started coming to church with me. Not long ago, Sharon told me way back then, she saw Rick and I and told Clint she wanted to get to know us because we looked like fun. Imagine that. They wanted to be friends with sinners like us. This was around the time of the Toronto blessing. There was lots of shaking going on and visions and all sorts of manifestations of the Holy Spirit happening in our church. And I received a vision and a song. Now, I sing in my classroom with seven-year-olds. Other than that, I don't sing. I've always admired people who could sing harmony because I couldn't. But with this song, I not only heard a melody, but the words, and I heard the harmony part. And Sherrod said we should sing it. Well, we did in front of the whole church. I still can't believe I did that. And I also can't believe she would have done that with someone that wasn't a singer and that was still a baby Christian. Did Sharon show interest in God's deposit in me? She not only saw it, she multiplied it. We are all different, and we all have different giftings from God. And that was what the song was about, by the way. And we all have a deposit of God in us. In Mark 12, Jesus was asked, which of the commandments was the most important? And he responded, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Lorraine, Glenda, and Sharon all showed this love to me. Well, I love teaching at Mission Hill, because it's like a slice of the real world all under one roof. Teaching there has helped me to learn godly principles that are sometimes hard to learn in church. Where else can you be in contact with Sikhs, Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholics, countless cultural backgrounds, drug addicts, high-class professionals every day? I like to start the year with a poem by Dennis Lee called The Ice Cream Store. And it goes like this. Oh, the kids around the block are like an ice cream store. For there's chocolate and vanilla and there's maple and there's more. We read that poem and I ask the kids what they think Dennis Lee means by his words. We all put our hands in the center and we look at the different shades of our skin tones. The kids don't see the differences in each other's outsides. So I use this poem to teach them how they're all different on the inside and how special they are. I can teach them that they all have a deposit of something unique and special. You see, you can teach biblical principles without ever saying God's name. I believe that because there's a deposit of God in everyone, people can relate to his truth when they hear it. Once they find God, they will see he's really been there all along. For the most part, kids don't see the differences in each other. Maybe we should be more like them. Because this is what Jesus means when he calls us to be like little children. So often, I feel that we exclude people and don't even try to be friends with them because their belief system is not the same as ours. I guess it's about over 30 years ago now, Rick used to smoke pot. I was just finishing my teaching degree. That's funny. Anyway, I was just finishing my teaching degree and was making some new friends. One day I came home and wanted to get together with one of my new friends and thought that we could invite her and her husband over for a visit. Rick asked me, do they smoke pot? My reaction was, goodness, I don't know. Does it matter? And he convinced me that it did because he didn't want to offend them. That was a nice story because you can see he doesn't do that now. It's kind of sad that we never got to know that couple very well because we perceived our belief systems to be very different than theirs. And that conversation gave Rick the realization that he limited who he was friends with because of his belief system. This really bothered him and led him to the decision to quit smoking pot because it limited his circle of friends. But what if this story was turned around? How many times do we as Christians not get to know others because they aren't Christians? How many true close friends do you have that are not Christian? Do you believe we are supposed to love our neighbor? Do you believe that God has put a deposit in everyone? Maybe, just maybe, we need to look deeper and ask God to take off the glasses that magnify the sin and put on the glasses that magnify Christ's deposit in us. When I was just a new Christian, I had just recently received the gift of the Holy Spirit and had just witnessed a miracle. I was so pumped and excited, and a Jehovah's Witness came to our door. He was polite, and he asked me if he could tell me about God. And I said, oh, yes. And then I want to tell you something that I've learned about God. His response was a bit startling. He said, young lady, there is no religious experience that you have had that I haven't. And he left in a bit of a huff. Well, I think we always have to remember that people have different beliefs than us, and they feel just as strongly about what they believe as we feel about what we believe. Rather than letting our differences divide us through hate or avoidance, maybe we should let God unite us in love. One of my favorite principles to work under was Barry Irvine. He just seemed to stand for everything that was good. He seemed to have the fruits of the Spirit, and I just felt good being around him. He was principal at Mission Hill when Linda Danielson was going through her cancer surgery. I didn't know if Barry was a Christian, but I took the chance, and I asked him to pray for Linda. He asked what time her surgery was, and when I told him 2 o'clock, he knew he would be in a meeting at that time, so he wrote it on his thumb so he wouldn't forget to pray right at 2 o'clock. Well, Barry wasn't a Christian. In fact, he and his wife were heavily involved in Ekankar. Later, however, Linda attended the Alliance Church with a friend, that's Linda Irvine, and sobbed because she found the thing that was missing in Ekankar. Soon after, both Barry and Linda were baptized out at Eagle Bay Camp. When they retired, they took theology classes in Calgary and did numerous mission trips. So back to the book of Mark. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Love must be sincere. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Wow. Barry exemplified this even before he became a Christian. Did God put a deposit in him? Yep. And I don't believe he put it in as soon as he became a Christian either. People showed interest in that deposit, and now that deposit in him and his wife is paying dividends to many. So have you noticed the deposit in someone else who isn't a Christian? Have you used your deposit to make someone else's grow? I always wondered, how did Jesus do it? When he was on earth, how did he feel comfortable with hookers and tax collectors and undesirable people in general? He not only felt comfortable with them, he was actually friends with them. They weren't just his project or his divine assignment. He was their friend. When discussing evangelism and bringing people into the church, I've heard the expression, some people are the fishermen, they catch them, and there are other people in the church who clean them once they're caught. At first, I thought this was kind of witty, but something always bothered me about it. There was no love indicated there, and no relationship showed in that statement. I think we always need to remember, love one another as I have loved you. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 12:9, love must be sincere. And one of my favorites, Romans 5:8, but God showed his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If Christ loved us enough to die for us while we were still sinners, I'm sure he will show his deposit in others enough that we will actually love them as sincere friends even before they know God. I have a very dear and close friend at school who is not a Christian. But through her, I have learned so much about how to teach Christian values to kids. She has a huge deposit of God in her. She just doesn't know it yet. When Linda Danielson was at our school, there was also a wonderful custodian who worked there. We wondered if he was a Christian because he was so Christian-like. So Linda just went up to him one day and said, Barry, are you a Christian? Because if you're not, you'd sure make a good one. Maybe that was all he needed, because now he and his family are very devout Christians. It is said that they will know we are Christians by our love. Do people know that I am a Christian by my love? At least as much as I thought some of my friends were Christians by their love? This may surprise you. I truly believe God can teach us things even through people we don't like. Years ago, there was a staff member I felt dominated by. She was assertive, strong, not really the warm, fuzzy type. She wasn't one that I felt comfortable being around. And there were times that there was a clash between other people and her, and even me. But there was something in her, however, that I lacked. Punctuality. God let me know this, and I was humbled by it. For all I had seen before were the undesirable things in her, God opened my eyes to see something in her that he wanted to teach me. Once I accepted that humbly, he helped me really love her and be her friend. He even gave me a word for her. She was doing her master's degree while teaching grade 7 full-time. This was very hard to do and very stressful. Being on the sunshine committee, though, it was my job to bring her some sunshine. Along with a small gift I gave her from the staff, I wrote a quote from the Daily Bread devotional. One thing about time, ... it always passes. I told her to hang in there and she would be done soon. Well, she didn't know that the note was from me. The next day in the staff sign-in book, I saw a thank you to the person who wrote the card because the message was so perfect. God gave something for her and taught me something through her. The interest in God's deposit grew in both of us. Maybe that mustard seed will grow in her one day. There is something amazing that happens when you show interest in God's deposit in others. It has been said that we are an equipping church. I believe that that means more than equipping people to go to other countries. In John 17, Jesus says to his Father, may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. That I find totally amazing. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus, and God loves the people you are uncomfortable around as much as he loves Jesus. Our job is to do the loving part in the second greatest commandment. God will do the changing. You don't have to feel uncomfortable around sinners who aren't churched, because we're all sinners. But we all have a deposit from our Heavenly Father in us. What we need to do is to see that deposit in others and encourage it to grow, and not be afraid to let their deposit grow interest in us as well. Both will pay heavenly dividends, and we will have a new friend. So if you think back at the parable about the talents, the king was happy with the people that multiplied what he gave them. that gift that he gave them, he multiplied it, and that gift was according to their ability. He didn't want just interest, and he didn't want just the same thing that he gave. He wanted it multiplied. So I pray this year, in 2012, you will find a new friend to love, like your Father in heaven loves you. Happy New Year. So it's a New Year's message. If you're thinking, am I echoing? If you're thinking about making a New Year's resolution, today I'm going to try to convince you that you should make a new friend. In Romans 3:23, it says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This means you have something in common with everybody right off the bat. And in John 17, before Jesus was arrested, he prays for his disciples and those who believe in him through their message. That's us. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me." I believe that God puts something special in everyone, that he has potential, that has potential to respond to him. The Bible says that we are made in his image. Since the beginning of time, there has been something in every person that wants to worship him, something deep inside that knows that there's a higher power than man. Today I'm going to refer to this as a deposit from God. By speaking God's truth, we can awaken this deposit in others by sincerely loving them and being their friend. I find it so interesting that people have so much trouble having faith in a God that they cannot understand. And yet in times of great need, they call on that power of God that is beyond their understanding. In Romans 12, it says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves." We discussed the parable about the talents in our home group. At the end of the evening, we all agreed that God has given all of us gifts that he wants us to use, and as we do, he will give us more. This wasn't about money. Rather, it was about the risk involved in investing in something God has given and making it multiply. In other words, he wants our gifts to show interest. So I'm going to read the parable of the talents just to familiarize you with it. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his father's money, or his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And in our e-sword on our computer, they had a really neat little commentary on the side, and I loved what it said. Those who desire to be used for God's glory are given the means. The more they do, the more they are enabled to do for him. Conversely, we lose what we don't use. I believe that God has made a deposit in each one of us, and it is up to us to show interest in ourselves and in others. We often think of this in regards to our own gifting from God and how we should use it so it will grow. But what about showing interest in someone else's gift? Can you help someone else's deposit of Christ grow? Lorraine McNull did. We were neighbors for years. She saw something in me and wanted to become my friend. She felt God calling her to have a neighborhood Bible study right at the time when I was searching for that something that was missing in my life. I got to know Jesus personally in that process. Lorraine showed interest in Christ's deposit in me, and she multiplied it and made it grow. Glenda Brunell also showed interest in me. I met her through Lorraine. Even though I'm sure she saw some rough edges in me, she still became my friend. She must have seen the deposit of Christ in me too. We talked a lot during the time when she lost 2 babies, but the interest she added to my deposit showed dividends. God gave me a poem to help her through the pain and a vision of charity. Played at Glenda's feet at her kitchen table before she was even conceived, all because Glenda showed interest in God's deposit in me. Maybe now some of my rougher edges had been smoothed out, and by this time, Rick had started coming to church.